This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, thanks for pulling up a chair today on Table for Two. I could not be more excited to be here in New York City. It is a glorious day, and I could not be more excited to be at Via Carota, my favorite downtown West Village Italian joint.
I'm very anxious. This is exciting.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
We are having lunch today with a woman whose body of work is absolutely stunning. It's immense. It's diverse. It spans decades. She is an award-winning super talent, and she gives back to our city, to our country. She has a voice that she is not afraid to use. She is next level.
I'm going to have the eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Et vous?
Je pense, I think I'm going to have, I need a little pasta, so like maybe the cacio e pepe, I feel like I need some carbs.
I'm talking about Bette Midler. Can you believe that? We're having lunch with Bette Midler today. So sit back, enjoy, grab a glass of rosé, grab a salad, because today's lunch is really extra special. So thanks for joining. Again, I'm Bruce Bozzi. This is my podcast, Table for Two. I'm really excited we can all have lunch today.
Today
we're here
at Via Carota,
a very nice restaurant.
And I love that you love it too.
Oh my goodness, I love it here.
I mean, the minute I said I was having lunch with Bette Midler, the waiter, Michael, I believe, was like, oh, yeah, Mrs. B, yeah. She's like, you know,
yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, I come here all the time.
You do.
The food is really good.
What do you like here?
Well, I love the arancini.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real fan of that. Okay. And I love all the pastas, but the real star for me, I'm not a vegetarian, but I'm close to,
okay,
is the lettuce salad, which is sensational.
It's next level.
It is. It really is
it
next
really
level.
It really is. It's yeah. Next level. So
sometimes they give me a cafe corretto.
Oh, they
which
do?
Which is an espresso with... Well, you're Italian, you
yeah.
know. With Fernet Branca.
Ah.
And you're just like floating through the rest of the day, which is
I know.
Oh.
I love that, like when we spoke, I, you know, first of all, receiving an email from you is one of the most exciting things one can get. And it was like, we're not going to be doing day drinking today. Because normally I say, pull up a rosé, da 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 da. And I respect that.
Thank you.
But you were in New York early.
What, I was.
And I happen to think you know, you came to New York in the late 60s. And
I came at 65.
65, so
yes.
mid-60s.
Mid-60s, I was 19. You, what was I thinking?
I think what's so amazing about that period to me is you came in 65 and you really hit the
I did.
Road. Like, I mean, I know you studied at HB. I know you studied with Uta Hagen.
Yeah.
I know you were on Fiddler on the Roof. I know you stayed there. I know at 1974.
You know my whole
I do.
CV.
Yes, I want what I wanted. I mean, I was like, because I
recited it so many times. I wish I had a different story to tell you.
No, because
so
I couldn't
dreary.
Believe, wow, the talent, the drive.
Mm-hmm.
So what was 65 to 80 for you? And like, what was the city like for you? Because you were doing
so much.
Such
an interesting question. That's a really interesting question. First of all, it was a much smaller city. It was lower. All these high rises didn't exist.
Yes.
There were skyscrapers, but they were, I have to say they were kind of human scale.
Right.
You were awed by them, but you weren't like, oh my God, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, like you are now. Some
horrible
of those,
57th Street buildings.
Hideous.
Yes.
Anyway, it was human scale, and the people were very, they were speedy, they were bustling, but they weren't unfriendly.
Mm-hmm.
They could be kind at times. It was a very kind of down at heel city. It wasn't spruced up. It wasn't buff. It was very rugged. It was pretty dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there for the minute John Lindsay became the mayor, the garbage workers went on strike. But I mean, like, the minute. And
he
sworn
in. Boom.
Boom. They lowered it. So the garbage piled up. Then the subway went on strike. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, there was like a perfect storm of horror.
Right.
And I was here. I was 19. Maybe I was, you know, I turned 20 in December. And I just took it like this was just normal.
Right.
Even though I had never seen anything like it in my life. I just said, well, this is the way it is. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. So I had a couple of jobs. I worked at La Mama. I worked in children's shows. It was a very rugged, like I said, rugged. And it was... it was rough. It was rough, but it was kind of exciting.
Yeah, I think
because,
so.
Because, yeah, it was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of ferment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was Dylan and there was everything that was going on in music and the Beatles and the Stones and Andy Warhol was out.
Right.
And Edie Sedgwick was here and all the Warhol group were downtown. And for some reason, he was kind of like a linchpin.
Really?
I felt that he was a linchpin. I've said for years, gee, I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah.
Because there was something about him that drew people like a magnet to the city. So there was all this sort of wild behavior, not just wild behavior, but people who were artists, people who wanted to have a career in art, or people who had something to say. It felt like... I don't want to say Berlin in the 20s, but maybe.
I think maybe.
Maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah, there was a lot of acting out.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel unsafe.
Right. You didn't.
You never felt unsafe.
Yep.
It was, some of it was shocking. Some of it was eyebrow raising, but you never felt unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. I have to say it was fun.
I think it was.
It was a lot of fun, especially if you were young.
Right.
Because that's what it was all about. Those kids have come of age.
You didn't have to be rich.
You didn't have to be rich. Exactly.
Right.
You didn't have to be rich as long as you had something going on,
uh-huh.
something that was attractive in some way.
Right.
Either you had talent or
you
looked great or you dressed great or you weren't afraid to put yourself out.
Right.
Yeah. And it was for you, for a young person, it was very exciting.
I mean, you could have a dime in your shoe for a phone call
yeah.
and a quarter in your pocket for a cup of coffee.
That's exactly right.
And
that's exactly
it was.
Right.
And I mean, that decade, I was 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
But it was like, see you later, Bruce. Like, I was out on the streets going to visit my friends and doing things. Like you said, it was with all the graffiti and all this stuff. It was, there's an element, but it was okay.
Yeah. Well, it was people sort of making their mark.
Right.
If that's what it was.
Right.
See me.
See me.
See me. See me. I'm here too.
I love asking and I love knowing when you felt you were seen.
Well, I think it was when I felt I was seen or my scene.
Well, both, because both are very interesting to me. So, like, when someone's like, oh, people see me for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there a moment that you're like, that you experienced something that you're like, oh, okay, they see
me. I think it was probably the first time I had one of those epiphanies that people who work in this arena sometimes have when they have a song or something, a piece of art that they've made or performed,
right,
where they suddenly have an out-of-body experience.
Okay.
And it causes other people to applaud wildly.
Right.
So that happened to me, not once, but several times.
It did?
Yeah, it did. And I suddenly
realized... Early on? Are you talking Fiddler?
After Fiddler. After I was done there and I started working on my own,
right,
suddenly I was my own boss, which right. is... I mean, when you're your own boss, there's nothing like
nothing
being your
like
own
it.
Boss. There's nothing like me, yeah. So here
How
I
lucky.
Was. I was my own boss, right. and I was paying my own rent, and right. I was doing my own thing, and people liked it.
Right.
And I think it was the late 60s, like 68, 69.
Right.
And then it carried through into the 70s. I was a solo act from about late 68 till about the early 70s.
Right.
And then maybe at 1970, I found Barry Manilow.
Right.
I found, he was given to me, he was assigned to me by
right.
the man who owned the Baths. I think the Baths, I would have to say, in this long career that I've had, now that it's been, 150 years, I'm still standing.
You look
Elton
damn
John,
good.
Elton John has it wrong. It's not, I'm still standing. It's not that. It's, I'm still standing.
Right. That is
and
so
I have,
true.
I do have to say, they were great to me. When I got that gig at the Baths, it was $300 for the weekend. This was more money than I ever heard of in my life. You know, I was working in Fiddler for $200 a week for a couple of years. And when I asked for a raise,
right.
they refused me. Okay. I asked for a $25 raise and they refused to give me a $25
they did.
Raise. Yeah. So I got very bitter. That was the beginning of Bitter Betty.
Okay. Bitter Betty.
Bitter Betty.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bitter Betty. That
yeah.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on Table for Two. Today, we're having lunch with Bette Midler. By the 1970s, Bette's star was on the rise. She began the decade performing in the Continental Baths, a gay bathhouse in the basement of the Ansonia Hotel on the Upper West Side, and by the end of the decade, she had moved to Hollywood. Her journey to mainstream success was not as smooth as I presumed.
In the 70s, there was a lot of joy and there was a lot of freedom.
Yes,
and what did you notice in that room besides the obvious of why the men were there?
It wasn't in the room so much, because there were unwritten rules in the room.
Okay.
So, and everyone in those days was very sort of circumspect. Right. People were very respectful. Mm-hmm. This was a surprise for them to come and see an entertainer in their space.
Right.
And they were thrilled.
Right.
And they were especially thrilled with my act.
Right.
Because I have always sort of catered to my crowd. That's something that's like Showbiz 101.
Right.
You read the room. Right. You have to read the room and you have to sort of tailor your work to the room.
Right.
And it's great. It's great fun, but a lot of it's improvised and a lot of it's written in ahead of time, just so that you have some guideposts.
Sure.
So they were so happy that I was making jokes about them and their situation and their life and this and that. And they were enchanted.
Yeah.
Enchanted. So I mostly noticed that they were enchanted.
They were enchanted.
I mostly noticed that because I'm a complete narcissist. And so I was thrilled. And I never expected it to lead anywhere. I really didn't.
Really?
No. I didn't expect it to lead anywhere. I thought this is, you know, it's a weekend gig.
Right.
I'm going to pay the rent in one weekend. Oh, my God. Because in those days, you could live.
Right.
The rent was $300 a month for four rooms.
Right.
And you were living like a king on $300.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
And it's why artists like yourself at that age could.
Yes. That's why New York was so...
Yes.
Was so vivacious, so vibrant,
right.
Because it was cheap.
Right.
And I remember very well when the artists took over, when they passed the law that said that artists could live in those lofts downtown,
right, downtown
before
right.
Soho. Mm-hmm. And I had a boyfriend who did that.
Okay.
He got a loft on Spring Street.
Right.
It cost him like, I don't know, $30,000, for this gigantic, you know, 1,500 square feet. But there was nothing. There was no grocery store. There was nothing.
Right.
There was no bakery. There was no butcher. There was nothing. No dry cleaner, nothing. And I lived down there with him for a few months.
I mean, I have to say, like, you hit it at what I think is the sexiest time to have hit it. You were young.
Mm-hmm.
You were talented. Mm-hmm. You have the gig at the bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It was the moment to...
It absolutely was.
There's no one like you, Bette.
Thank you.
And there really isn't. There's nobody that has the body of work and the ability of talent that I have ever experienced.
That's
and
right.
The effect that not... only you've had on me, listening to your music, seeing your shows, seeing your movies.
Mm-hmm.
So the 70s go, and when there's a little small world here, 1979, The Rose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rydell, whose grandson is my son-in-law,
mm-hmm.
coincidentally,
really?
Yeah, married Brian's daughter, Billy.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Sort of crazy, you know,
that's
just
right.
This weird.
Small world.
And for those listening, Mark Rydell directed, you know, Bette in The Rose,
mm-hmm.
right? You give this performance that's, I mean, I remember being in the movie theater. I was, you know, probably just about to be 14, 15. I mean, it was like, so here you are. You win a Golden Globe. You end the 70s in this, like, incredible way. And you've had all this, you know, the characters you developed, all the, right? And then you do something that's crazy.
Which part?
You,
which one? Which time was
that? Well, you go to Hollywood and become a huge movie star, comedic movie star, and own Disney. I mean, right?
Well, it wasn't exactly as easy as all that.
Okay.
I had a big hit with The Rose, and then I had a bunch of duds. And they're not very forgiving out there. But I was on my uppers. I mean, I couldn't get arrested. I had two pictures. I had The Divine Madness, which is a very odd picture. We made in Pasadena during a hurricane. And I had Jinx, which was hideous.
Okay,
hideous.
Right.
Horrible. And the director and I didn't see eye to eye on anything. It's raining. No, it isn't. I mean, it was like that.
Right.
So I was kind of untouchable. But unbeknownst to me, there were a number of other untouchables out there, too. One of them was Nick Nolte, and the other one was Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
And so Mike Eisner, in his wisdom, he had just taken over the Disney Studios, and he wanted an adult imprint. Mm-hmm. So he created Touchstone.
Right.
That's it. He created Touchstone, and his first picture was Down and Out in Beverly Hills, and he wanted the cheapest names he could get. And that was yours truly, and those two other Wingdings. So, we made that picture. And we had a lot of fun,
and it was a great picture.
We had a lot of fun.
That then begins a series of movies. That mm-hmm. begins a whole decade.
Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous for you. What was that decade? Who was Bette Midler like in that?
Happy. Really, really happy.
Right.
Because when I started, I came to be an actress. I came to New York to be an actress or an actor, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really very clear about what it meant. I wasn't clear. I just had a kind of a fuzzy, muzzy vision of myself in a cloud of glory. You know, I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't know what the work was. I hadn't had much training. In fact, almost none. But I had this, I had this light that I kept walking to. So when I got there, when I wound up at Disney, and no one was more surprised than I was.
Really?
I mean, I was so shocked because my act was anything but family friendly. I mean, I was dumbfounded.
Right.
Oh, you want me? But I wasn't about to say no because it was... In a way, my vision kind of changed. I loved singing and I loved performing live, but I think for the idea of permanence, mm-hmm. that you want your work to live on, there was nothing like film.
Right.
There was nothing like
No, there isn't.
Yeah. So I switched gears and said, I'm here now. So mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to do. And the decade was fantastic. We had the first all-female production company.
You did.
We did. It was called All Girl Productions, and because we were all girls, and our motto was "We hold a grudge." That's Bonnie.
Love it.
That was Bonnie Bruckheimer, my partner. That was
love.
We hold a grudge. Excellent motto.
Did you find because now you're hitting?
Oh, there was major blowback.
I was going to say
major
like,
blowback.
You are now at a time where women are not actresses are not getting paid properly. Your movies might be like, were you in a very misogynistic time, I think, in the world? Were you in a...
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel
really?
It. I had never felt it my whole life.
Really?
I had never felt it. I had never felt it. It's only now that I realize. Isn't that funny? I mean, I always sort of watched it. But I never really judged it as like this gigantic monolithic case of misogyny. Uh-huh. I never really judged it. I just thought, oh, well, that's the way the world is.
Right.
I didn't think it could be changed. It was just the way it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then I realized there was a whole bunch of people saying, we're going to change this.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the 2020 now.
Yeah.
Of looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, do you find yourself now looking back on the 2020 of life? Is there anything that you're like, the clarity that, you know, you go, oh, wow, I didn't see that at the time. Or I didn't know to feel that. Or maybe I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, incessantly. You mean, do I have any regrets? I regret everything, every moment of my life. Regrets, I have a few. I have so many regrets. But I have to say, even though I have regrets, I also have give myself the opportunity every now and again to look back and be proud.
Right.
You know, to say, but you know, it was big. It was a big thing, and now I'm sort of outside of it
mm-hmm.
because I'm a woman of a certain age,
right.
And I feel like a lot of it is behind me because when you get to be 77, a lot that you have more in back of you than you have in front of you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you never lift your head to see it. You never stop to smell the roses, corny mm-hmm. as it sounds.
Yeah.
You're just so busy plodding ahead
mm-hmm.
that you don't really know what's going on around you. And it's only when you stop and assess the damage or the success
right.
that you realize what you went through. And that I started to do my archive. Forgive me for...
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm putting my archive together. I mean, I know that sounds much fancier than it really is. I'm putting all my...
It's very important.
It is kind of important because... And I got horribly depressed.
You did?
I got horribly depressed. Because? I really did. I almost had a nervous breakdown over it. Because I had to look back and I had to... So anyone who's listening who knew me then, I really apologize. I mean it. You know who you are. I mean you...
Really?
Yeah, because I had letters. I had old love letters. I had checks. I had bills. I had scripts. And it was, like I said, it was a lot. It was a big life and it was a lot of people
yeah.
that I met, that passed in my vision that I didn't notice, who turned out to be wonderful people that right. I ignored. And I did some things wrong. I did a lot right, but I did a lot wrong. So I got really depressed.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, I mean, I think you have to be careful to not be too hard.
Yes, exactly. And that is that's something yeah. that everyone should learn.
Yeah.
That's bread in the bone.
Yeah.
If your family was hard on you, you're going to be hard on yourself.
Yes. The archive thing, so is the intention to sort of just put it all together and just, you know, keep it in the family?
No, I'm going to give it to someone. I haven't really figured right. out who. Someone who can either, you know, and if there's anybody who wants to write books or whatever, they'll have right. access to all that material.
Right.
But the truth is, now I'm thinking, oh, maybe not. the truth is, it was swamping me. There's so much of it. And I just wanted to get it out of my vision, out of my sight line.
Was it all storage or someplace?
It's been in storage, yeah. It's been in storage for years. So it's, you know, it's like a cloud hanging over your
yeah.
head.
It's like when you want to clean a closet.
I do. You know, downsizing, baby.
Yeah,
downsizing.
It's freedom. Mm-hmm.
It's freedom, sort of. Yes, yeah. But first you have to, before yeah. you give it all away, you have to go through it.
Yeah, it's like when you lay yeah. all your clothes out yeah. and then you don't want to do it anymore.
That's right.
And it just sits in your closet. Right? You're like,
that's right.
I don't want to do this anymore because yeah. someone just put it away. You have no choice. I think it's you're giving the world a gift.
Oh, you're so sweet.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Table for Two. Bette is, of course, an acclaimed actress and singer, but she is also a prolific philanthropist. Every Halloween, she throws a star-studded benefit called Halloween to raise money for her New York Restoration Project. The NYRP restores and preserves green spaces around New York City. I'm honored to be a part of the event this year, and I'm curious, why Halloween?
What was the moment, because not a lot of people have what you have.
This anal retentive quality.
Well, no, it's the, I'm tired of seeing something.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
Most people just drive on the highway and see the garbage bags and keep going.
Yeah.
What was that moment and the journey to get you here and me being a green god at Halloween this year, which I'm excited about?
I wish it was... I wish I could make it more fanciful or more elaborate than it is. It was really simply, people really are sleepwalking. People do sleepwalk. And I've always prided myself on the fact that I'm alert. I'm awake.
Yeah.
I'm awake. And when I see something going on that I don't like, it's not just me. It's everybody around me that's being blighted by the blight.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I had to do something about it. And I did. And I think it's great. The one thing that I'm really, really proud of in my environmental career is the fact that I raised awareness.
Yes.
At a time when nobody, very few people were saying, this is awful.
Right.
We can't do this.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere and everyone is aware of it. But I see movement. Like last night I saw on PBS a story about fishermen's gear that goes missing in the sea. These lobster traps that are now made of steel, they used to be made of wood.
Okay.
And plastic ropes that used to be made of sisal that would disintegrate.
Right.
And now they don't, and they trap wildlife in them. And you see these pictures of these little birds, you know, who are trapped in these cages. It's just, it's devastating.
It's horrible.
It's devastating. But I wanted to do something about it. So I set my mind to it, and I had a great partner in those days, a guy named Joe Pupillo. And he was a little fireball and a little fireplug, wouldn't take no for an answer, knew everybody in the city. And we started on this journey together, and it's still going strong 30 years later,
So how did Halloween become the holiday to have this huge benefit and to raise, you know, awareness and money and make the change?
Well, it was a couple of things. I once played a witch, and this was a very popular character that I played, and it seemed to fit. And I also was encouraged by the board that I got together for this nonprofit to do an event. And I had never done an event. I'd never done a party. I'm like such a homebody. I don't do anything. I just go home. I read a book. I had some pasta. I watch TV. I go to bed.
I don't think people really realize what an introvert and what a, I think, kind of shy person that you are. I've gotten to know you very casually, and we've been in the same room, but it's the energy, and it's so interesting because of the two.
Yes.
That you love to read, which I know about. And Brian and I were talking about you last night, and he was like, you know, Bette's she's a huge reader. She's very smart. She's very shy. She's an introvert. People don't realize that.
It's true. I'm an introvert, and my big parties are the ones that I throw on the stage.
Right.
That's the other me, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Right.
But I couldn't be her off stage. She is freaking exhausting. I just can't do this day and night. So I have those outlets where I'm completely out to lunch.
Yeah.
And then I have my real life where I'm, you know, I'm just like a regular person. And when I say regular, I mean, I just do what everybody does. I love to cook. I love to eat. I love to putter around the house.
Right.
I love to, you know, clean out my closet,
right.
blah, blah. Everybody says the same thing. Anyway, so I played a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very popular character.
Yes.
It wasn't popular when it first came out, but it got a cult following. And somehow or other, it became a gigantic hit many, many years later after its release.
Mm-hmm.
So people loved it. And I thought, oh, that's good. And I wanted to do an event. And I had all these books on ballrooms, balls. The artist ball, the drag ball, the this ball. I mean, I had no idea that people were such party givers because I never went to any of those. So I put my thinking cap on and I came out with Halloween. And you know who said Halloween? Mick Jones from Foreigner said, yo, you should call it. I wanted him to be the first act.
Right.
He said, oh, you should call it Halloween. And I said, I'm gonna.
That it's great.
Isn't that great?
It's really great. I mean, I know you're not going to give anything up about what you're going to wear.
No. I would never give up anything. What are you going to wear?
I don't know.
Well, it's it's a kind of a fractured fairy tales evening.
Yes.
So it's
like, give me an example.
Scary tales and dead time stories.
Right.
So you can think of all the great fairy tales that you could use. You know, the great figures in literature with, of course, with knife stabs or bullet holes or, you know, bleeding out of your ears.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I ran into Zach Posen two nights ago and I was like, well, I have a question for you. He goes, don't ask me to create a Halloween costume. It's like he read my mind. And I said, Zach, I'm not. I go, well, maybe like a concept. He's like, concepts I love. I could do a concept. How he knew that that's where I was going to go. I mean, like, the gumption on me. Like, who do I think I am?
That is hilarious. The fact that he knew what you were going to say before you said it, that is
crazy.
Hilarious.
I started to laugh. And I know that Jordan Roth is involved, and he's going to be judging him.
I know,
no one's
going
to kill it like that.
God. I'm afraid, Jordan.
I mean, honestly, I'm...
If I were an attendee, I would be nervous about Jordan. Because he really does kill it. He goes all out.
All out.
I've had such a wonderful time today talking to Bette about her many accomplishments and her life in New York City. She has made a lane for herself and found so much success over the years. Before we go, I want to know, does someone who seems so fearless ever get nervous?
As we sort of wrap up our lunch together, and God, this has been, it was really
You're such
meaningful.
A doll. Oh my
thank
God.
You so
I can
much.
Sit across from you
thank
all
you.
The, for the rest
thank
of my
you,
life.
Thank you.
You're
thank
so
you.
Sweet and so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Was there a moment ever in your performing career that you were scared, that you were about to go and do something that you were like, oh wow, I'm really kind of scared to like step on the stage?
Of course.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, of course.
Because you seem so
there are sometimes
ethereal,
when you,
next level, strong.
Well,
like,
you know, someone said to me recently, in fact, you over-prepare. And I realized that the reason I over-prepare is because that gives me confidence.
Yeah.
If I'm not prepared, the times that I'm most terrified are when I'm not prepared.
Right.
When I'm not really sure about what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do or what I'm going to sing. But if I'm rehearsed, if I'm up for it, you know, if I'm ready, then I zoom. It's like a rocket going off. So that's fantastic. But I do get terrified.
Right.
I don't have that kind of crippling stage fright that has dogged some friends of mine.
Right.
But I think that might be a function of age. It might be around the corner. Who knows? But anything can happen.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. One foot in front of the time. Right. Starts with one step. I know all the mantras.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
This has been so great. I just have to give a plug for my organization. We are NYRP.
Yes.
And Bruce Botsy is our green god this year. And Clive Davis is one of our honorees. And Christina Blakesley is our other honoree. We have some honorees, and we have Chloe. She's going to be singing.
Yes.
And Dionne Warwick is going to sing because Clive Davis is one of our honorees, and she is going to sing two songs.
Yes.
And she's divine, and he's divine, and everybody's divine.
Everybody's divine. And designed, and you have Miles. Everyone's designed. Miles Frost.
I do have Miles Frost.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
I'm very
He's
proud of him.
He's super talented.
Yes, he is.
It's going to be a super fun night.
I think it's going to be a great night. I may come as Rapunzel, but I don't know.
Oh.
I may come as Lady Godiva.
Oh.
And that's something you really want to see.
Yes, it is.
Maybe I'll come as Eve. You know, there's some of them have been so much fun. You know, Michael Kors and Lance Fair were our costume judges. They're not here this year, so Jordan Roth is taking over. And they used to go all out, too.
I bet.
They did. They went all out.
God,
and
so
we
excited.
Have had some of the most hilarious and fantastic entertainers.
Right.
We had Stevie Wonder. We had Elton John. We had Stevie Nicks. We had Sheryl Crow. I mean, Huge. Yeah. All people who really want to make, you know, want to give us a hand.
Yeah.
Give the environment a hand. So it's been great.
I think people, as we wrap, what you're doing is, again, building and maintaining community parks, gardens, like thousands of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing something so incredible. But if I can end on one note, that is your body of work, your immense talent, the joy and what you've given to the world, that, you know, in our lifetime.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
And it's, thank you. It could bring me to tears because I've sat in dark movie theaters, I've sat in stadiums, and I've been the recipient of your passion. And
thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining me today.
I'm thrilled. And I had a wonderful time.
And I'll thank see you on October 27th.
See October 27th.
Thanks, everyone, for pulling up a chair.
Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi is produced by iHeartRadio, 737 Park, and Airmail. Our executive producers are Bruce Bozzi and Nathan King. Table for Two is researched and written by Bridget Arsenault. Our sound engineers are Paul Bowman and Alyssa Midgaff. Table for Two's LA production team is Danielle Romo and Lorraine Virez. Our music supervisor is Randall Poster. Our talent booking is by Jane Sarkin. Special thanks to Amy Sugarman, Uni Scher, Kevin Uvain, Bobby Bauer, Allison Cantor-Graber, Jody Williams, Rita Sodi, and the team at Via Carota in Manhattan's West Village. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.